Hey everyone, this episode is 227, and on this episode, don't be fooled by the name. Yes, the entire episode is like a Throw It to Missy segment, but the episode does not feature a Missy, which is kind of appropriate since Missy never brings anything to the Throw It to Missy segment. I think she might have on the last one. I can't remember. Oh no, she had a good Leonard Nimoy Star Wars joke. But other than that, it is Bombcast J, it is Bender Only, it is myself, and we do talk about a lot of stuff. And I'm going to make a promise to you right now, as you hear Lou Dog walk downstairs and into the studio, I'm going to make a promise to you right now, we will stop talking about Ted Lasso until season 2 debuts, because it's apparent that Ted Lasso dominates our good feelings, and it comes out way too much in the show. Bender makes a joke about we should just start a Ted Lasso appreciation podcast, and we've almost done that. So, that said, I don't know that there's anything else to say after that said. So, you know what? I just tell you this. We're just going to play the bomb right now.
Dated the brewer's sister, so he would get it all the time. Every time she'd go to Chicago, she'd bring like cases of it back for him.
Yeah,
and he loved Apex Predator, was like his favorite beer, and yeah. It was opening day 2016, 2017, one of those two. Mm-hmm. And his family does like they get a lot, and they rent a porta potty, like they do it up big, like it's huge, and then they party all morning, and then they all go to the game as a family, but like. Friends are coming and going. There's tons of people coming and going. And when if you want to use their porta potty, they're just like, hey, make it like a $5 donation to the cost or you know, like $2 or whatever. Mike and Brian and I were the last ones there, and I left and went. I had to leave to go pick up my daughter, and they were going to the game, and they were just kind of dragging their feet. And Augie Bush comes up with his like bodyguard or his main guy. He's like, hey, man, can I use your bathroom? And Brian, like my buddy Brian's like, yeah, it's $5. And he's like, oh, yeah, no problem. And then somebody goes, you know who that is? Don't make him pay. I'm like, first off, he's rich. He could pay.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't there. But then Mike had one of their Apex Predator cans. And he goes, hey, what are you drinking, man? And he goes, oh, it's Apex Predator. It's a friend of mine's brewery. He's like, hey, do you mind if I try it? Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, no problem, man. And he swigged it, gave his buddy a swig, and his buddy like spit it out into a vial and put it in his pocket. I'm like, how's that going to do you any good? But I don't know.
Don't think you can reverse engineer.
I don't think you can either. But he did it. I'm like, I don't know what you're. Maybe you could pull out like what.
I don't think
hops or anything in there. I don't know. I get it if you would have stolen the can.
I would be super amazed if you could give the actual hop. There's a genetic makeup to that hop or whatever.
I mean, you probably can, but I mean, you would have to get like some crazy equipment.
Also, wouldn't be worth the money for the brewery to do it.
My only thought is that like they just do that all the time and fuck with people.
I don't know if the story you just told is shareable on the air.
I didn't mention any names.
I heard the name Augusta Bush. I heard Brian.
Oh, I mean, like, Brian, it doesn't matter.
Okay, well, the only reason I say that is because I let you ramble for a little bit while I was upstairs because Louis was being a jerk.
Yeah.
So I figured, hey, what a good way to do the cold opening and just say we are back than whatever story you said. Yeah. So hopefully it's something I can use.
Yeah. No, that's fine. But, I wasn't worried about it.
That said, this episode is three men deep here, and the voice that you heard the most would have been Bender Only, sitting to my left.
Yep.
And then directly across from me almost would be Bombcast J.
Hey.
And I want to start there with the hosting situation, because Mr. Hummel put in a text.
Did he respond?
To me. No, he didn't, and that's what I'm getting to. But to me, like a week or two ago, hey, I think I'm about ready to come back, but I don't know how much I'm going to commit yet. Let me know if you need a second or third get host. The Monday thing is clear. We just record on Monday unless otherwise stated.
Yeah.
And do we need another host? No. Do we want him to come back? Yes. So it's like weird that he doesn't. It's like,
maybe he's out of town. I don't know. I don't know.
He could be. He could be busy. But, and he's going to have more of that. But it's like,
He's waiting on us to ask him if we need him. Just come back, Tom. Yeah, we don't need you.
We miss you.
Listen, honest to God, and this is not me say tooting my horn, but really, and honestly, with Jay, we could probably get by. We don't need any one of us. The only reason we need me is because I have the computer and the equipment.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, we're all fairly science. Capable of this. Yeah, and he has his own podcast.
Yeah, literally the only reason you need me, well, does Jay? He? Does he have his own podcast?
Didn't you put out an episode a couple weeks ago?
Oh, no. It's been probably a year.
Maybe it was a Twitter. Literally, like, you used to write a blog or something, right? Yeah, that must have been
snuck his way onto our podcast as a regular.
Less equipment upkeep.
Yeah, Jay's right. Literally, the only reason that makes me essential to this podcast is I have all the sign-ons to all of the...
He also might be hungover today, because do you guys follow Clue Hayward on Twitter?
Yeah, and I saw...
Hummel tweets at him, and he said today's Monday, right? Yeah, he said last night he was 5 Jamesons deep, so... Happy Mother's Day to you, Tom.
I didn't know he drank whiskey like that.
He doesn't like bourbons. He's a whiskey guy.
Yeah.
Like an Irish whiskey guy.
Okay. Yeah. And I didn't know he just drank them straight.
I mean, the pandemic has changed us all.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I knew he drank flavored. He liked that Barstool Sports and St. Louis.
That was a vodka thing, though. I think, right?
Yeah, I think.
I think he just bought it just to
the
say
Peak Whitley or something like that was what it was called.
Yeah.
That said, I didn't really bring anything to this episode. One thing Bender brought to this episode is the second time we've had a blue beer on this episode. The first time being the blue. Abe Sapien beer from
which
Hellboy.
Was spectacular.
Yeah, but somehow I got a big rat broke at my
oh yeah, something's wrong with you. Yeah,
swole my lips. Ooh, almost like maybe the indigo dye I'm allergic to. I don't know. Hopefully this isn't the case.
Yeah, so. I was just thinking that, like, maybe you shouldn't have drank this.
Hey, dude, it's how you know. You just roll the dice and see what happens.
What do you think? It's
it's way better. It's sour is almost giving it too much credit. It's just kind of a fruity beer. I mean, if it is a sour, it's as least sour.
It's a sour India Pale Ale with raspberry flavor.
For those that don't like sours, which I'm not overly fond of, it's more of a palpable sour.
Yeah, it's not bad. Like the first drink out of it, like right out of the gate, it's like, remember Warheads as a kid? You're like, that tastes like a Warhead a bit. And then the more you have it, you're like,
Gummy worms, sour gummy worms, those slushy, that company. I had a bunch of them in beer sauce on some day drinking a couple weeks ago.
Is it the 450
Main? Yes, 450 Main. Those fucking things are Warheads.
Is it a beer?
It's a beer.
Oh, okay.
They're just, it's their slushy series or whatever.
Yeah, they're from Indiana.
Yeah, I had sour glow worm, and Missy gave all of our, somehow Missy and I, so what happened was, Missy took off from work, and I think I was off of work for some reason, and we went down. Oh, what it was is my sister-in-law, her mom was having surgery at Barnes Jewish. Mm-hmm. So I took that Friday off to go down and see her half a day to go take her to lunch. My sister-in-law said she didn't have to hang out at the hospital. Yeah. And then Missy decided she was taking a mental day from work and a mental health day. So we went down there, ate Mission Taco, had a beer.
Mm-hmm.
On our way back home, I was like, you know, we're off on a Friday. Let's keep this buzz
going. Keep that party going.
Yeah, so we went to Beer Sauce, and we drank two beers, but somehow I checked into six beers because everybody kept opening a new beer, like trying bringing in a new beer, which happens. But they were all like 10%.
Yeah.
So I got home, and I was like, fuck, I got to take a nap before volleyball tonight.
Yeah, he texted me. He's like, yeah, I'm drunk.
Yeah.
I'm going to catch up to you on Untappd.
He's my mortal enemy. For being a good friend and the newest addition to our show, I hate him because he's always four ahead of me on Untappd.
I've been real bad about checking in.
Real good?
No, real bad about it.
Like, but I mean, does that mean you're drinking less or you're being
No,
drinking?
I'm drinking more, just forgetting to check in.
So what you're saying is my alcoholism has surpassed my desire to use my phone.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I checked in that Missouri Loves... Missouri Loves Company? I drank all six of them, but that was the last one I checked in today. I was like, did I check this in?
I was told that that's a collaboration of 28 different Missouri breweries. I said,
I think they're just brewing it in different spots, right?
How hard is that to stir? Yeah. I mean, how many hands?
I listened to the last episode.
Oh, did I say that? I used that joke at Beer Sauce, too.
Listen to it today, bro.
Oh, wow. Glad you're up on the podcast, though.
I don't listen on the weekends. I got kids.
I'm guessing you guys brought something to talk about. I will lead in with a movie that trailer that dropped today of the first one I didn't even watch yet, but the next Venom trailer.
You haven't watched it?
No.
Oh.
Did you watch it?
Yeah.
And you liked
it? At least once. Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah, it was okay.
Okay. I didn't. I thought about maybe watching it just so I could speak intelligently on this episode, but I thought, why start now?
If you watch the trailer, it's all there.
Yeah, yeah. I think I get the gist of the Venom story.
Tom Hardy was good in it.
Yeah.
The story was just okay.
Yeah, it was just very middle of the road.
The trailer is very silly at the beginning of it. Is the movie got all that kind of silliness with Venom cooking for him and all that?
No, the first one didn't have that silliness. There is like a weird like self fight in his apartment, and then his neighbor is always playing music and he scares the shit out of his neighbor. And there's a little banter back and forth when he eats somebody for the first time.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's mostly kind of like a cheap 90s horror movie. A
little bit of internal like dialogue between the two of them.
I get it.
That you see a little bit in the new preview.
Yeah. And
they're really ramping up the comedy in this one, though.
Yeah, by the trailer they did. And I guess that's probably intentional because the character of Carnage being a serial killer and Cletus Cassidy is...
You didn't see the first one. So you didn't see Woody Harrelson's spectacular wig at the end of the first one.
No, but you see it in the trailer. This trailer is
It is.
Even better.
His hair looks great in this one. It was a really bad perm.
So it makes sense to balance how serious the character of Carnage and how homicidal that character is going to be with a little bit of levity, in the non...
Yeah, and it could just be the first cut of the trailer, too.
Yeah.
It could be literally the opening scene of the movie, too.
And it probably is.
I do like in the trailer how she said, are you going to stop being our protector? And that's a nod to the Lethal Protector story arc, the miniseries that they did for Venom.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not a huge Carnage fan. Like, I liked Venom.
There's a lot of people that aren't Carnage fans, and it's funny that you say it being a big Spider-Man, because a big Spider-Man fan that you are, because the bigger Spider-Man fan I know, the less likely they are to like Carnage, because Carnage was very much a product of the 90s.
Yeah, and that's my problem. Like, I tried to go... I think it was in, like, one of those Hoopla collections. There was, like, the Carnage's, like, birth or whatever, origin story, and it's just so 90s. It's just hard to read. It's very hard.
Well, it's very Ex Machina style. It's just it happened.
Yeah.
It just they needed to get from point A to point C, so they invented this very shallow B to be the origin of Carnage. I will say this, though. Maximum Carnage was a super commercial success.
I didn't get into it,
so much so that it spawned a video game, Red Cartridge video game that was ungodly hard, but I beat that damn thing on Super Nintendo.
Which, I do remember what you're talking
about. Which featured a soundtrack by a band called Green Jelly. And for those that don't know, Green Jelly had one hit, and it was, little pig, let me in. And if you don't know who Green Jelly is, the lead singer of Green Jelly would go on to start a second band called Tool. And that would be a little bit more commercially successful and critically successful. So
they were Green Jello at first too.
Yeah, but then they had to change it to Green Jelly. I've had this one, so if you want to just grab me something off that bottom shelf, or not the bottom shelf, but the second middle shelf, grab me anything.
Mother Lover, I Dry or Stout.
Sounds like that's what I'm drinking.
You want anything? You can split this.
I want to try the Clockwork.
Oh, I haven't drank that yet either. All the way to the left. I've got one or two upstairs, so go ahead.
Two.
I had two here, and I got two upstairs, so.
Yeah. Let me just get a hit of that. I don't need a lot.
Get a hit of that? What, are we smoking dope?
So, yeah.
What am I, 60, saying smoking dope?
A milkshake orange.
Yeah, so.
You a reefer?
Yeah.
Anyway, staying on that real quick, I wanted to say, I watched the trailer like two times, and what I did read in the Carnage origin story, he had a girlfriend named Shriek or whatever.
Yeah.
Basically, she's a mutant serial killer herself. It looks like she's in this movie. She seems to be that girl. Her claim to fame in the comics is she's got like a diamond over her eye. And there's a girl in the trailer that kind of looks like she's got like a scar over her eye.
Yeah.
So she's probably in it. But if I had to guess, it's going to be as rememberable as the first one, which was fine. And if it was on, like, once you watch it, if it's on like HBO, you'd be like, ah, and then go do dishes, and then come back and be like, oh, that part was cool.
You know, Sony, so it'll be on Disney Plus
eventually. Oh, yeah. No. Sony
worked on a deal with Disney.
Oh, they did, didn't they? That's right. Because they get the Spider-Mans for like 6 months, and then they all go to Disney. Yeah.
So, I wasn't crazy about the trailer. I watched it once. I'm just like, it is what it is. Hopefully the second one's better.
It was a very formulaic trailer.
Yeah.
It showed a little bit of comedy, showed your main hero, and then it had almost like Robert Pattinson Batman feel to it, and how the bad guy has the voiceover, and then it shots to the chaos and stuff. And,
yeah,
it's directed by Andy Serkis though, has he directed anything yet?
I think this is his directorial debut. One. Yeah,
I'm rooting for it for that reason alone because his work is spectacular.
And he's worked hard to become a player in Hollywood. I mean, he was Peter Jackson's essentially as workhorse, his mule.
Yeah.
No fame, but he did all these amazing characters from King Kong to
Smeagol
and all of that stuff. And
I'll have to look it up. He did a spectacular video game for the PlayStation 3. I'll look it up.
Yeah, he's all done. Did all this motion capture stuff, and I tell you, it was cool to see him in the Marvel universe and Black Panther and stuff, where I thought he did a great job.
Yeah, his character had so much swagger.
Yeah,
I can't think of it. I'm blanking on his name.
Claw.
Thank you.
Yeah, Klaw.
Yeah.
He had so much swagger for like his character, and then I was kind of sad when they took him out.
Well, it was Age of Ultron was the first one. And then it was Black Panther. Yeah, but
Black Panther really he looked like a gangster.
I'll tell you this. I don't ever feel like I need to apologize for how critical I am of Black Panther, because I wasn't critical. But when Black Panther, you know, all the praise it got, I feel like there was a lot of getting praise just because people wanted it to succeed.
Yeah.
Because of what it stood for. Mm-hmm. That said, I still thought it was a 5 out of 5. Still a great movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But everybody was like, oh, this is the best Marvel movie. No, it's the best one in the theaters right now.
Wow, that's good.
A lot of people, you know, a lot of people wanted to give it more than it was because it was, you know, black written, black directed, black starred.
Kind of like Wonder Woman.
People want those so badly, want those to succeed. I think they give them extra bonus points. That said, it was on TBS over the weekend. I rewatched it. Man, I tell you what, I said this on this episode when we talked about it. Michael B. Jordan is so fucking captivating in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I believe my original assessment of the film, which I still stick by, I do have to give Chadwick Boseman a little more credit than I did before. He holds his own in those scenes with Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah.
That fight scene where he takes his power away, that's a great scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That final scene, a great scene.
Yeah.
Even the gorilla tribe. That guy was spectacular, and he was a nobody coming. Winston Duke. He was a nobody coming out of or going into that role.
And he's in that Spencer's Confidential with.
And he did Us with Jordan Peele.
Yeah.
My only real complaint about Black Panther was they over CGI'd it by the end, and then the last battle is almost meaningless.
It's very anticlimactic. Also, the other knock on it I have is some plot holes on, like you said, the more of the guerrilla style tribe. If only the king of Wakanda and only the Black Panther has the power.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they so fucking strong and can jump around like they can? Like they too are superheroes. They, in fact, if you remember,
well, they're vegetarians. So
if you remember correctly, it makes sense for all the warriors of like all of the his personal guard and stuff, because they're highly trained. Yes. But they also have vibranium weapons,
which
a vibranium weapon carries a lot of the weight when you whack somebody.
It defies physics and stuff.
They don't have any of that. The Winston Duke's character and him, they don't have any vibranium weapons. They're using just rudimentary weapons.
Well, maybe because they're primitive, they have to.
They've adapted
for it.
And they live up in that mountain, so they come down, I don't know, gravity or whatever.
I'm going to commend you on making an argument.
Just throwing something out there.
I would have liked Marvel to try to make the argument, but I commend you for doing that for them. But still, watching it again, I think my original assessment would probably have erred towards a 4.75.
Yeah.
But watching it again, it's a solid 5. Great movie. It's in the top. I know it sounds crazy to say top 10 of Marvel. It's probably in the top 6, 5 of Marvel movies.
Yeah.
God, it's just so many Marvel movies. It's
it really is. That. I threw on last Friday Infinity War again, and I was like, man, this movie really is spectacular.
I watched Endgame.
See, yeah.
Again. A couple, like, during work one day, office day. I'm not going to lie to you. When Tony died, I kind of teared up. Yeah. And then the final scene, I teared up. I'm like, I'm tearing up more over shit I've seen four times
yeah.
now,
yeah.
knowing it's coming.
Well, when Chadwick Boseman walks in the screen in Infinity War, I'm like, man, we're never going to see this again.
We talked about the last episode, that goddamn Marvel Phase 4
yeah.
trailer.
Yeah.
When they say Wakanda Forever, I'm choking up talking to you about it.
I'm really hoping that they, like, figure out a way to bring Michael B. Jordan back somehow and make him the new one. That'd be
yeah. That was one of the things I didn't like about Black Panther, is they wasted him by killing him.
Well, and they did that all the yeah, time. Ben with
been
the great
saying that since day one that yeah. they get rid of these. That's the one thing they're doing right with Z Leaper with
Batroc.
Batroc's character
and the Von Strucker, well, Baron Von Strucker. And
Baron.
He's
Zemo.
Still a Zeno. That's what I meant. Zeno. Yeah. Yeah, he's still a bad guy. Like, he's gonna pop back up.
Oh man, and you talk about we've talked about on this show, and I guess we can bring you into it too because you haven't had a chance to weigh in. I think because of how much hype that WandaVision got and how stupid fucking critics seem to not want to separate the two, I think Falcon and Winter Soldier is very underrated.
I didn't even read any of the critic.
It's not like anybody's hating on it. They're just saying, well, it's not as good as it could be. Man, I begged a different man.
I don't know what else you really wanted. Like,
man, both Bucky and the Falcon, you know, the characters, or the actors that played them, Anthony Mackie and what's
Sebastian Stan.
Sebastian Stan were great. The secondary and tertiary characters are great, and Baron Zemo was fucking one of the best things about that show.
I guess my only real complaints about the whole show is the fact that, like, it's so far it seems like Sharon Carter really is a bad guy. I don't like that turn. I'm not a fan of that, but I think it's like a triple agent type situation where she'll be something else later on, and it'll be cool. Going out though, I was like, man, I don't like that. But
yeah.
No, I thought it was a great show. I had a blast with it. Yeah. Their ability to make a superhero suit that works great on paper but shouldn't work in real life.
Yeah.
Like
his
fucking Captain America suit at the end, I was like, God damn, that's cool.
Again, I want them to tie it into. I know it'd be hard for them to do, but because of, well, maybe we can do it now with No Way Home. Is someone has to say that they use Dr. Octavius technology for those wings to just instantly be able to respond to his thoughts. Well, because otherwise,
well, Vulture's wings in Spider-Man the first one are pretty, and they used Chitauri technology.
Yeah, but they don't say it on his.
No, they don't.
Because when they, like, especially when they go to shoot him and they just naturally come around him, I'm like, well, okay.
Like, yeah, but, all right. Like, there has to be, like, some sort of, like, sixth sense in the suit itself. He
also
can't react all the time.
Also, his back was turned, so by the time he knew the gunfire was there was when it sounded, which means he's dead unless those things have their own brain. So.
Yeah, there's just some AI technology there.
Did you see somebody took that costume and made the Rob Liefeld style of the, like, Heroes Reborn Captain America?
Oh, I did not.
Oh, it was great. He giant chest and arms and totally unproportional.
Yeah,
that's
awesome. Which, that, by the way, you are right too, Bender. When he put on that Captain America suit, that was fucking awesome.
Yeah, all that the white awesome. And stuff.
And it almost flipped a switch in him. He was super, way more confident as that Captain America and stuff.
Well, but you earned it. Like the journey from when he gives up the shield in the first episode, which I thought the other, I guess I sort of complained, but the other complaint is that first episode where he kicks off and he fights the Leaper.
Yeah,
that was a spectacular scene, and then it really slows down.
Yeah,
and which is fine. I wasn't mad about it.
Yeah,
but I guess if you were going to complain, that could be a complaint.
Well, and for me, I don't complain about it because the reason they slowed down is because they gave him a family. They gave him the backstory he did not have in the movies.
No,
then they paid more. They did more because they could flesh it out, like you said. I believe was like, I like this style of storytelling from them because it's allowing them to fill out these stories and flesh out these characters. And
I really want to go back and read the Red, Black, and White or the first Captain America Isaiah story. I really want to go back and read that now. Like, so good on Disney for, you know,
also
getting people to buy old Marvel comics.
Predicting it now, 2023, we're going to see that miniseries.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Or at least a flashback or two. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. They've, like we said, but, you know, probably ad nauseum at this point, is the one thing, even if you didn't love Falcon and Winter Soldier, you have to admit, it's expanded the Marvel Universe, Cinematic Universe, so much that it gave us a Phase 5 and beyond.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, because they got to cycle in some new characters at some point.
It's got to stay fresh.
Yeah.
So leading into that, so we have Phase all the way through Phase 5. And
well,
we
have Phase 4 is all we know. Yeah.
But they...
Four is all...
That's all we know?
Four... I got a feeling four is going to end with whatever the new Avenger team is, and that'll start Phase Probably. 5.
Because I think some... I listened to this podcast the other day, and they said the X-Men or mutants aren't going to be around until Phase 6 at the earliest, I believe.
I mean, slow play it.
Which is fine. And the whole podcast I listened to, the whole point was, how do you think that they're going to bring them in at this point? And they went through all these different scenarios, like multiverse, like, oh, they just showed up. And then there was a scenario where they've actually been around the whole time, but Professor X, which I liked this one, Professor X and all the psychics were actually hiding them. And then in the snap, that ability went away, or those powerful things disappeared.
They lost some of the...
So they start phasing back in, and they've actually always been here the whole time. I think that's the cleanest.
Yeah.
I think whatever's going to happen is going to divide a wedge between people, because everybody has... Because not that... I don't think Marvel's dropped a ball, but they've had so many opportunities now, and people want it so bad, it's like they're overly rooting for it to happen. I will say this. I don't mind them slow playing the mutants, considering... They already showed us that the first family is going to be in.
Yeah.
Because that was the Fantastic Four was the tease. So, you know, the good news is we're in a rush to get the X-Men because we love the X-Men. We're not in a rush to get the X-Men because they're getting stale in stories. And they have plenty of stories left
to tell. I guess, and the other argument that they brought in and I thought was pretty relevant is like Magneto, for example. Like, his
can't be
Jewish origin story as like a Holocaust survivor is
not going
to
work.
Central to his character, it's not going to work at this point, unless like.
But there's a lot of
unless they walked away and like another thing that they did was they walked away that they could bring him back in the Multiverse of Madness. Is they were very active in like the 60s and 70s, got rushed off into another world, and then like Doctor Strange somehow accidentally brings him back with him
into the current timeline.
Into the current
which has
timeline.
Happened in X-Men. Yeah. They replaced him with a younger.
Like Bendis did the back in time story.
And I mean, if you want to, and I know this would raise the ire of people because we're so woke and so we're so easily offended, but you could update his story to
like a 9/11 or something.
Well, to be a Jewish person persecuted by Muslims because.
Or like there's no way they do the Israel-Gaza Strip thing.
Yeah, but they could, you know.
There's no way they touch that.
Well,
he was Mexican and got pulled in by ICE and separated from
him. Yeah.
I guess you could do that, I mean
to keep
him... just not do Magneto?
There's plenty.
I think take a break from him for a while, though.
Yeah, well, you have to tease him, though.
Yeah.
You have to tease him.
I mean, you could bring in Namor as just as equally a bigot. Big a bad guy.
He's got to come in if they do Fantastic Four. So
you think so?
I think so. I mean, he's so closely related to that
Black
family.
Panther.
Or Black Panther. Yeah. Also, Namor is, you know, what they've done with him in the comic book. And there was a time where Namor and Hulk were like, you know, Hulk could whoop him as long as he wasn't
they
wet.
Powered him down.
Well, if he got wet, it would refresh him. But Hulk could be stronger. But in the comics, especially in the Ultimate Universe, and then they brought it over to the main one, they've almost made him more powerful than Superman.
Namor?
Oh, yeah. He's a badass.
I'm reading the new Avengers, and he's just coming back into it again. So after,
yeah, it's almost unfair what they've done with him, like hyped him up a little bit.
They just keep ramping everybody up.
Yeah,
though.
That's what they do, and that's too bad. That's why... and we can talk about it for a little bit in case you are. I mean, I know we've talked about it, but that's why the Invincible Universe, I consider one of the greatest long-form comic superhero stories ever, because the strong characters were all his Omni-Man and his race, the
Vultramites.
Yeah.
And they start with them being the ultimate badasses, mm-hmm. and then they work backwards.
Yeah.
It's not like they keep hyping up. They just start at the top, and then they work down, and that worked good. And that cartoon was awesome.
Oh, I loved it. The brutality in the last episode when he takes on the, like, when he just pushed the dude through his island in his kitchen, I was like, it's fucking awesome.
Or through the subway.
Yeah,
that was awesome,
the subway.
Too.
Like, it was... The whole Chicago scene was... They did a... Like, I saw your complaints about how he wasn't great at being a superhero this whole thing. And in the comic, he's basically is almost as strong as his dad out of the gate.
Well, no, he's not almost as strong, but he's strong.
Better at it, yeah.
He's... Well, they just made him... What it was is they've made, like, the bad guy so strong.
Yes.
Yeah. And... He seems inconsistently strong in this. He, like, some fights he's better because, you know, he actually learns from his dad, spoiler alert, when his dad comes back, how to push his limits, and, like, working out works for him. It'll make him stronger. And that's how the Mark Grayson gets stronger in the comic. He works out. He starts working out. And so and they hinted at it in the show, but it just... I think that final scene has more of an impact if he doesn't spend every episode getting his ass kicked.
Even, yeah, or like...
And that's just, that looks still great. It's still favorite cartoon of this year.
100% agree with you. And they, I finished volume 4, and for whatever goddamn reason, Hoopla doesn't have 5.
Oh, that's annoying.
It's very annoying. I was going to see if you had it, and if you can't, you don't,
I'll
buy it.
I think I do. I think I've just started piecing those together again.
Anyways, the fight with Machine Head, where he brings in Battle Beast and Battle Beast beats the shit out of him, took a lot of the weight off of his dad's beating the shit out of him.
Absolutely.
And I didn't like that, because that doesn't happen in the comic in that direction. His first real ass whooping is from his father.
Yeah.
You know, and that was a, you know, poor choice, and it makes it a 4.8 out of 5.
Same. I feel the same way. Yeah. I feel exactly the same way.
Like, when his dad hits him for the first time, and, like, he, like, the shade kind of falls from his, like, this guy's always been, like, my icon, to he could really hurt me and there might be something deeper here. That was a deep scene for a cartoon.
I was talking to Big D, too, and Big D said what was great was the, oh, please, aspect of the fight. Every time he tried to do something, his dad's like, really, Mark?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This and is your effort.
And his dad snapped to, like, I guess I do kind of love at least him.
Yeah.
You know, and flying away was pretty solid.
J.K. Simmons, solid role, man.
Yeah, man.
Solid performance.
That guy hits a home run every time.
All right, well, I kind of led this whole conversation going with the stuff I brought to the table at one and to the other, but I saw that you did bring notes to Bender of some stuff, so what do you got next up on the
menu?
Keep in mind,
I was kind of hoping your wife would be here. But
I got a real
serious
conversation about with you guys in the Throw It to Missy segment about comic books. So remind me that. Put a pin in that.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to use my Throw It to Missy right now. That I had this dream a couple weeks ago.
Oh, boy.
And I don't normally dream very often, but the kids wake you up, and I know that I dream. I don't remember my dreams.
The Freudian segment of our podcast.
So, but if I wake up and go back to sleep, and I don't know what. It was after the last of my podcast. I was playing with your dog. I had a dream that night that I woke up and I had to write it down, because it was just, I was angry and, like, shell-shocked coming out of it. I had a dream that somebody gave you 2 wolf puppies, and you were the most fucking psyched you've ever been in your entire life.
I was totally a Stark.
Like, you're just like, this is my dream. They were like a goddamn child. Yeah. And, like, no hyperbole or nothing. Like, it was hilarious. And I'm like... And these dogs keep getting bigger, and they're cute, and they keep getting bigger.
And they get mean.
And meaner. And, like, it starts out, like, with them just, like, biting at people. And you're like, oh, it's nothing. But we go away for some reason. I don't know who else is there. Like, our families are there, I know for sure. But, like, and as I think about it, I keep adding people in my own brain. But we go away for a weekend, and your fucking dogs start hunting us.
Huh.
And they just start murdering us one by one.
Sounds
and,
like you wrote a movie.
Yeah, and we're on the run, and you're with us, and you can't stop them. Like, they are not listening to you anymore, but you also are in complete denial the entire time. You're just like...
So you're Daenerys.
Yeah.
Like, just 100% denial. Like, I'm like, Jeremy, your dogs, you got to do something about them. They're like, no, they're just hungry. I'm like, they just ate our friend. And you're like, no, they're just misunderstood. And I'm just like, so I woke up so mad that you would not accept that you raised two really shitty dogs.
I feel like
that I had to write it down.
I feel like we just launched Bombcast theater group.
Yeah, like I think we need to make a podcast about this. Like, it just,
it's gonna be our welcome to Nightville. Yeah.
Like, I had to write it down. I was like, am I remembering it? And like, the more, like, your wife is yelling at you. She's like, Jeremy, the dogs. And you're like, no, they're just misunderstood.
Yeah.
I'm like, what in the fuck is going on?
It's a very odd dream.
It is the weirdest dream I think I've ever had. And
it's up there.
Yeah, but you know, honestly, I don't think it's that far off the mark from you.
Have two old puppies, yeah. Yeah, I guess. And I would really love them. What I got from your dream is that I know how to love unconditionally.
Yeah.
That's what I got from your dream. A PC Bombcast story.
I feel like we should write a movie and like maybe have Mike Schilling cut a trailer together for
us. You want some of these real quick? Yeah. Oh, cheers. Yeah, I'll cheers. Yeah, sure. Drink, you guys split whatever.
I just thought it was hilarious. And it was rolling around in my head for a while. I'm like, man, I need to get back on there and tell them this story.
What did you bring other than Bender's? We could dissect that from a Freudian standpoint, but
let's follow that one.
I start therapy next week. Yeah. I'll let you guys know what she says.
Tell them when they want me to come in and talk. I don't know. I don't care.
So I started Jupiter's Legacy today.
It's a movie or is it a series?
It's a series.
Okay, I haven't seen
it. It's gotten not great reviews, right?
It's slow.
Okay.
And they've changed quite a bit of the backstory from what I remember.
I never read the book.
I read the first trade the other day.
So I don't remember them going into a lot of the backstory of the older superheroes.
In the first trade, it's all set in the 50s.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So that
100%
would make
set
sense.
In the 50s and like, what's his name? What's the detective from the 50s that everybody... J. Edgar Hoover. Yeah.
Wore dresses.
He's trying to blackmail one of them for being gay. And a whole lot of this.
He himself.
Yeah, they haven't gotten into any of that, and they're jumping from like the 50s. Or actually, this is set at the Great Depression.
Okay.
So it's based on the stock market crash.
Okay.
And that's the reason they go to find this island.
How far into it are you?
I'm on episode 6. So
are they hour long?
Just about an hour.
So you're saying out of 8 episodes, you've watched 6 and it's still slow.
Yeah.
The reviews I read last week said it was not a home run.
No. Like, this is like DC movie level compared to the other superhero stuff that's out.
Well, But is it worth watching?
I think it's okay.
Hmm.
It's
not a rave review.
No, it's not like...
If you're selling me on it, you're not doing a great job.
It's not... If it was weekly, I would not be looking forward to it like it was Invincible.
Did you watch Umbrella Academy?
Yes.
Did you like that?
I did like it, even though they deviated a lot from the source material.
I didn't love it.
Even the second season?
I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, watch the second season.
Okay. Yeah.
It gets way better.
Yeah, it does.
Based on the reviews that I read and then your review, I will wait to see if it gets picked up for a second season before I dedicate 8 hours to it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. That's solid. I started, and it's only 2 episodes into it, Mythic Quest Season 2.
Oh, yeah, I saw that was out.
Is that a weekly episode now?
It's every Friday.
They're gonna go back to that. I think these streaming platforms are going to...
I think they're going to... Yeah, I mean...
I think they have to.
I think that generates more new subscribers for them and stuff.
Yeah, sign up for a 30-day trial.
The buzz,
free email.
Building buzz helps.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you get spoilers and new episodes every week, talking about it.
Yeah, not only that, but like...
And Apple Plus has done that from the beginning.
Yeah.
So, and this season has started off... without missing a beat. Like I said before, Ted Lasso was my favorite new show, maybe one of my favorite shows ever last year. Because Ted Lasso was so amazing, Mythic Quest kind of slid under the radar, and I even told you, Bender, to watch it because it was...
I haven't yet, but I will.
Because I said it's quietly a really awesome show.
Yeah.
And they start out, and Daniel Pudi's character is even better this time around, and... spoiler alert, but the female henchman of the real boss, Dave, she's now flipped over to be Daniel Pudi's character, marketing's protege or accounting's protege. So
yeah,
it's funny. That whole dynamic is funny, and it's solid, well worth it.
I haven't watched that yet. I We just wrapped up Schitt's Creek because we were
such
we
a good ending.
Rolling slow through those. Yeah, it was a very good ending.
It's a prime example of when the United States patterns itself more after BBC shows and goes out on top.
Yeah.
Because arguably that last season of Schitt's Creek's the best.
Yeah.
Because they kept getting better and better and started taking more risks with their writing, with the, you know, being so leaning into the gay couple. And I know that sounds weird to say that's a risk, but it really is when you
it
make
is.
A show.
And I really like that they didn't ever, I think we've talked about this before, they really, the town was just very accepting of almost everyone.
They never
and I liked
made it
that.
A big deal.
There was like that blip when David meets the parents. And they were like, is it something we did? And he's like, excuse me? And they were like, why does he feel like he can't tell us he's gay? And he was like, oh, I thought this was going to be an uncomfortable conversation. Yeah. That was like as risky as the show got when it came to like norms like that. Like the town was just whatever. You know?
And it took an entire series for them to make Moira redeemable. And it was that last episode that did it.
Yeah.
She was the...
She was growing, but then she'd fall.
Yeah,
she'd
her
grow.
Character was awesome. She deserved every accolade she got for doing that.
Oh, yeah.
But she was the least likable person in a town of quirky people.
She grew the least out of everyone there.
Yeah, which maybe is a testament to her character.
Yeah, absolutely. And then... they could have gone like the super cheesy and gave Stevie a husband or a boyfriend at the end and like or had
instead they focused on her becoming a businesswoman.
Yeah. And they could same with man, I'm blanking on the sister's name. Alexis. Yeah, Alexis. Yeah. They could have brought Alexis's boyfriend back from the Galapagos Islands, but they didn't. I thought it was a pretty solid like wore out. You know, and like that was it. Like they could have easily done another season and they didn't. They wrapped it up nicely and they rolled out.
Yeah. That's Schitt's Creek. I mean, the two shows that the the two shows during the pandemic that me and Missy most latched on were Ted Lasso and Schitt's Creek.
But now that that's done, I went through Ted Lasso on my own. I didn't think Rachel would like it because it's like sports and everything.
But it's not. It's just.
But it's not. Like, and then when I watched it, and like I still tell people that is the only show that has ever made me emotionally happier going out of an episode than you went in. Like, if you're in a bad mood and watch one, you're not in a bad mood anymore.
Very few shows in the history of TV make you a better person for watching it, and
so
that's one of them.
We're going to go back and watch it. And, like, Jeremiah had a volleyball tournament this weekend, and they took second, and they dominated all the way to the end, but Francis Howell Central is elite.
Yeah.
And they lost, but, like, anytime they get down or behind, like, the one kid on the team would just scream, "We are goldfish," like all the time. And like people who haven't seen Ted Lasso are like, "What in the fuck is he talking about?"
Well, I mean, I tell you, we talked about it, you know, with Missy on the show last week. I will rewatch the show again, and like I said, I call back to the beginning of this episode. I cried more watching it, knowing what was coming with that last episode, with that last backbreaking goal and the nice pass.
I think it's his divorce from his wife and accepting that they don't love each other. Ooh. Spoiler alert. Like, or that he still loves her, but he loves her so much that he can accept that she doesn't love him.
Well, and he loves her so much, it was suffocating to her.
Yeah.
He said he had painful optimism, is what she called. I mean, and he's the most, and we talked, I mean,
should we just do it like a Ted Lasso fan cast?
We should.
I feel like this is what it turns into every episode.
There could be a, like we talked about in the last episode. Like I could see where some people would be like some young writers or less experienced writers would come in and like, man, every time Coach Beard's on the screen, it's gold. Let's give him more lines, more to do.
No, man.
But no, leave
every
him
scene
exactly.
carries weight.
Yeah.
But even he grew at the end of the last season because he was
went
all
back
about
to
like,
the girl.
Yeah, he got back to that girl and he wasn't doing chess moves and shit.
What is it? Couldn't put the girl in front of the game, could you?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like Silent Bob, kind of, where he's got that moment every episode where his wisdom comes out.
Oh, dude. I do got a bone to pick that you two, we're going to get off topic, went to movies, and I was not even on the fucking text as an invite. I'm the one who sent it to you guys.
Well, what happened was...
I don't need an excuse. I'm just letting you know I'm mad about it.
Okay. So as we sat there eating the movies...
I don't need it.
Enjoying what was an awesome experience, I thought to myself...
Was it awesome?
Bender's going to be so mad.
Was it awesome? Because I looked up the tickets online, and I was like,
great.
I don't know what I'm really getting for all of this.
You're getting... The food was good.
Yeah.
It would be a better... Your better fast food burger.
Okay.
the fact that they turned this empty place into a movies was, it was great. It's like I said, for 35 minutes, it let me live in the Askewniverse.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all that matters.
I mean, I didn't know what the reviews were like, and it was selling out. And what day did you guys go?
Friday.
See, I couldn't even get Friday. Maybe if you'd have gotten me in, I would have gone on a Friday. But the only thing that was left was like Thursday afternoon.
So my tickets were for me and Missy.
Hmm.
And then Missy said, can't go. And I said, Jay, can you go? And that was like the first call.
I'm not mad.
Yeah, you are.
I'm not mad.
But you deserve to be.
Yeah.
But so I told you guys.
I'm not mad enough to like let it eat up any more of my soul.
Yeah, it already has.
We'll just bring it up on future episodes.
Yeah, so I told you guys in a throw to Missy segment we were going to talk about this, but we'll just pull that pin out of the comic book talk. But speaking of trips, the news is that the Planet Comic Con for August tickets will be going on sale soon.
Okay.
It's not like I'm saying, hey, I need a hard commitment from you, but if you guys want to go...
Do they have a hard date?
I think they do have a hard date.
August 24th, that weekend.
Oh, that'd be great, because my son's birthday is the 19th, and I just need to plan around that.
Yeah, so if we'll look up the date, he's looking it up now, and we'll talk about it too as we're done, because here's what's happened. If you both go, I'm booking two hotel rooms.
Okay.
Because Dwayne, Hikus, and Hal Powell go, so it'll be three guys in each room.
So smelly in there.
Well, three and three. If one of you doesn't go, then we'll probably drop it down to one room and just somebody's, you know, figuring it out. Because we're usually so drunk.
Yeah.
And we don't spend a lot of time in the hotel room.
Yeah, it's just shower, shit and shave.
But it is something that is happening, and I'm for sure going. I already have my ticket.
You're all in?
Yeah, I already have my ticket because I held over from 2019, or 2020, I mean. Yeah.
The 20th to 22nd of August.
Okay. So that'll probably be like, and the doors, 20th through the 22nd. His birthday's the 19th.
Yeah, that doesn't mean I can't go. I just have to talk to the wife about if we're going to do his birthday party, we got to do it the weekend before.
Well, yeah, you work on that because I'm for sure going. And as soon as they put the tickets on sale, which they aren't on sale yet,
mm-hmm.
I'll get the tickets. I'll get the rooms. Everybody can pay me back because usually me and my good friends, Dwayne and Hikus and Powell and all of us, we fiddle fart around and we're like, somebody thinks somebody's getting a room and it's never anybody's fault. And then we end up getting rooms last. I'm just going to get it all.
Yeah. And don't you have like Marriott points left over from 2020 or something?
Well, I get a ton of Marriott points because we always stay in a Marriott for work and now mm-hmm. our travel. So, but
that's what I'm saying.
I don't know.
I'm not saying you got to give us.
No, I'm just getting discount. Whatever the hotel is that's attached to the convention is the one I'm gonna get because it's in walking distance right there in the Power and Light and all that stuff. So, but yeah, that is happening for sure. And I've already told the guys that one or both of you are coming. So
okay. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I mean, I just got to talk to the wife about it.
Yeah, I've already mentioned it and throw it on our family calendar. So.
Okay, yeah, there we go. So we're good.
That was my only hang-up is when does it land? Does it land on Harry's birthday? Because I'm going to get shit for that. But if we can plan his birthday party the weekend before, I should be all right.
Oh, okay, yeah. He's still at the age where he don't know.
Yeah, he won't even remember.
Yeah. When you
the
said,
wife will.
Yeah, boy, yeah. And she don't forget.
Nope.
They could just Photoshop you into the pictures.
Yeah.
So, what'd you bring today, too? I'm sure
I didn't bring anything.
Okay, well, then Bender's got more. I see some long typing out right over there.
The top thing was, you hit the Venom trailer, so you stole that from me. Did any of you guys read Sweet Tooth or see the Netflix trailer?
I watched the trailer.
I am halfway through it.
The book?
Yeah.
Okay. Should I read it? Is it worth jumping into? I've heard good stuff, and I like Jeff Lemire.
The first volume was... I didn't care for it, but I kept going because I bought the first three.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked the second and the third. And so now it's trying to track down the last three.
That's one of those books.
It's pretty dark,
when did Sweet Tooth come out? It came out when I was... I still have my store.
I think it was 2009.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
so you'd have your store, yeah, because we didn't meet till 9 or 10, yeah. Oh, yeah. I moved into the apartment.
You moved in as I was about to close the store. Mm-hmm. I mean, you...
couple months.
You and I became friends while mm-hmm. the store was still open. But so the thing for Sweet Tooth that sticks out in me is I never read it, not because I didn't want to. It just didn't get a lot of...
It was very underground.
It was very... For it was a Vertigo book, right?
No, yeah. Image.
It was Vertigo.
And it was... but... The covers. Like, I vividly remember the covers for it.
Yeah, the little boy with the deer antlers.
Yeah, just all of it. They were good
covers. And kind of watercolor-ish.
Yeah, very different styles, yeah. Mm. And so, the trailer looked good.
Yeah.
So, the Robert Downey Jr. and his wife are the producers on the show.
Executive producers, yeah. Yeah.
And they had like a little mini interview and mini trailer like cut today. And they were talking about how it's a show that's kind of fun for... They wanted a show that they could do for the whole family, which apparently is very different from the comic, because the comic's pretty dark and brutal, apparently.
Yeah, it's got some dark tones to it.
Yeah.
But my 10-year-old wants to read it, and I think I'm going to let him, because...
Okay, so
nothing,
it's not that
nothing
bad.
Inappropriate in it.
Okay. Because, I mean, like, the story overall sounds pretty interesting. It's basically a pandemic happens, and then all the kids that are born after that, a lot of them have a animal hybridness to them. Like, he's got antler horns, and I think there's a girl with, like, a... like pig features.
And there were dogs and wolves.
Then like the older, like traditional Homo sapiens, I guess, are hunting them down or trying to exterminate them or whatever is the basic premise.
Yeah, and a large proportion of the regular people were wiped down in this pandemic.
Okay.
And it's trying to figure out.
Oh, it's close to home.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might be a little too,
on the nose.
Yeah. But it looks pretty good. I thought it looked like a lot of fun and something it would be worth watching with probably a 10 or 11 year old.
Yeah.
I don't have one of those, so I'll be watching it by myself.
Yeah, yeah. You got a teenager or young kids.
Yep.
You don't have that sweet spot to keep it going.
No.
I don't know that there. I thought there was something else that I wanted to talk about that I started or I was watching. But,
I got a couple other things, but.
All right, well, let's go to it.
Speaking of younger shows that were fun.
This entire episode, by the way, is a throw it to Missy episode.
Yeah. Just random stuff.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Speaking of younger movies that I watched with the kids, that was pretty fun, and I didn't know much about it. We watched Arlo and the Alligator the other night. Arlo the Alligator. It's on Netflix, and it's about this, similar to Sweet Tooth. It's about a alligator boy who was born. You see, it starts out with him in the sewers of New York, and he ends up in the swamps of the bayou, kind of raised. He's different. Infectious optimism to him and stuff, and it's about his journey back to New York to find his real father, and you know, the trials and tribulations. But it's got a lot of musical numbers to him, and they're all really upbeat, and all the characters are super weird, and I think he'd dig it. Like,
okay,
it's weird,
is
and
it
it's a
weird
kids movie
thing that makes you think we'd dig it. Or
yeah,
is it
okay? And like the, I mean, I'm a sucker for like an optimistic musical number, and like. Like, the rest of the story, I'm like, whatever. And then they start breaking out in a song. I'm like, all right, I'm back in for at least 20 minutes.
Hayden, I haven't watched it yet, but it's gotten great reviews. What is it? The Mitchells versus...
We watched that the other day.
Yeah, I don't remember the name of it. I saw it pop up on
Mitchells
Netflix
versus the Machines.
Yeah, something like that.
It's pretty good.
Hayden really liked it, and Hayden doesn't watch a lot of cartoons anymore.
It was good. The same guys who did Into the Spider-Verse did it.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I thought.
So they throw a lot of, like... Like, they'll be like, cut to a normal family, like, because they're the weird family or whatever, and it's like a picture of a human family, not a, you know, CGI. So there's a lot of weird shit like that, but it wasn't bad. It was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll check it out. I think tomorrow, I don't know if I'll be taking it home tomorrow, but, and so the bike I ordered in January probably won't come in until 2022. Because carbon frame is one I wanted, and it's
still stuck in the Suez Canal.
Kind of a higher quality.
Yeah.
Those are even harder to get. But they did get another one in my size that's essentially the same bike without the carbon fiber frame. So, but same gear components and everything.
Mm.
About $900 cheaper.
There you go.
So I'm gonna go try it on for size tomorrow, and if I like it, I think I'm gonna go ahead and get it. And then I'm just going to have them change out the pedals to clipless.
Yeah.
And then I'll buy a bike rack and I should be bringing it home. I'm excited about that. Start missing the agreement Missy and I made that I have to ride it minimum 3 times a week if I buy it.
So, like, are you just doing it for yourself? Are you planning to do stuff with the kids?
No. Hayden still doesn't know how to ride a bicycle.
Really?
She just never did it.
That's more common, you think? Like, Jeremiah.
Way more common.
Jeremiah knows how to ride, but we bought him a bike, and I bet it's been used 15 times.
Because would you let him go just ride all over the neighborhood?
No,
it's not the world we're in anymore, you know?
We live in a cul-de-sac, so they'll ride their bikes around the cul-de-sac and go on the bigger street a little bit. But
Yeah, it's just not a thing.
Yeah.
Unlike the street that I live on is basically a big square,
mm-hmm.
and I don't let Vera go around the whole square on her own yet. But she's developing a little crew of kids that they run with.
Gang.
Yeah, there's a couple little boys. I need to get a little girl in this crew too. But she runs these two boys that are in first and second grade, like they're
her minions.
Yeah, they just basically see Michonne
with
their
two zombies.
Yeah. They just do whatever.
Sheriff puts a dog collar on them. You're in trouble.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about getting that. I mean, because Hayden, you know, she's to the age where teaching her would be 30 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
Thinking about going and teaching her before we go to San Diego in June, because we may rent some bikes and go down the boardwalk.
Oh, that'd be cool. Beach, you could just do one tandem bike. That'd be adorable.
They have what are they essentially? Like a big buggy? Like a pedal buggy with pedals. They have those too. And, to be honest with you, that might be better too. Well, maybe not. When we were in Orlando a few years ago, we rented the paddle boat and went around the park. And the Copa America tournament was there, so they had a giant soccer ball. So I wanted to go up and touch the big soccer ball. I don't think we were supposed to, but I did it. And those were a 2-seater pedalers, and I ended up doing all the pedaling.
Oh yeah,
no one else did. So I figure if we get the big buggy bicycle thing, it'll probably just be me doing all the pedaling.
Yep.
Again,
yeah.
So
I never did one of those like bar pedaling things.
I want to so bad.
I know a couple people that have done it, and it's the same situation. Like it all starts out, it's good times, but like the biggest guys on there end up the drunkest, and they're just useless, and it's a annoying ride.
I think we have a good enough crew that we'd have a blast. In fact, we had one booked for Missy's birthday. 2 years ago, an arena up the road was the one that did the booking, and literally 4 days before one of her grandparents died,
and so she had
to cancel it. She's like, you guys can still go, and I was like, no, we're good. We'll just reschedule it some other time.
Yeah, we booked one time, but the guy that the person booked it through was fairly new in St. Louis at the time, didn't have all of his licenses, so his bike got impounded, or his car or whatever.
Another tangent we can get to in the throw it to Missy style thing is that I posted through the podcast thing about the Ecto-1 being in the podcast, the studio now, and Lego commented. Lego themselves commented. They go, Ghost wouldn't dare come around with that sweet build. So I was like, sweet. Thanks, Lego.
That's awesome.
I'll take one of those milkshake and those orange.
The clockwork orange things. Is any of this off limits, on limits?
If you see one, check with me before you take it. If you're just one, because I may not drink one.
Stouts on here.
Yeah. Oh, that's not bad. I had one of those. You guys can certainly drink that. I've had red beer. I had a 4-pack of that. So yeah, that's a red IPA. It's got a weird flavor profile in that it hits you real strong up front, and then just disappears. Yeah, it disappears. So yeah, it's pretty good. God, man, I don't know. I don't know what else I've got. I did get some tickets to go see friend of the show, Matt F. Basler, and My Posse in Effect.
That's coming up.
In May 22nd.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Where are they at? The Pageant?
The Pageant, yeah. Nice. I got tickets. We're going to go see that. I'm excited about that.
I finished it. Patio, poured concrete patio in my backyard. It's real big. I put the stairs in. It's 33x18, and then I put some composite deck stairs on it. You lost a shoe in the process.
You're slowly turning your backyard into a house with a pool.
Yep, we're not getting a pool.
But you're close. You just need
we're close. Yeah. We're close. Maybe a hot tub. I could probably fit
you,
a hot
what
tub
you are doing is also chipping away at how much you have to mow.
Yeah, yes. Like I can cut my backyard now in about 3 minutes.
Yeah.
No, but I was finishing the composite deck stairs the other day, and I'm screwing them in. I had flip-flops on, and the kids are running back and forth, and they're trying to go in and out of the house. I'm like, I need you guys to not go in the house while I'm screwing these stairs down, because when we originally built them, the top step, I only put cross bracing in one direction, and then when we put the composite decking on, we changed the style, so I had to put some more cross bracing in so I could screw it in. Long story short. Anyways, I was wearing flip-flops while I was doing it, because I only had a couple more pieces to put on, and when we were... And I'm climbing in and out of the stairs to put stuff together and the cross bracing. And when we're done, I went to grab my shoes again because I took them off at some point and I could only find one. So there is. I'm pretty sure there's a shoe inside of these stairs. And Rich is like, why don't you just take it off and look? I'm like, nope, they're done. Not taking them off. That is for the next person who lives here to worry about that.
Hey, after I finish checking into all of these beers,
yeah, I got a bunch to do. Then
I will be at probably 1800. What do you think the odds at June 19th? I'm in California. I can get to 2000. That's 200 between now and by the end of my California.
Basically, trip. I have five weeks to get
Missy
there.
And I checked into 36 or something different beers in California last time.
What are you at now? 1800?
1800.
You got 5 weeks. So you got to basically drink like, what, at least 20 new beers a week? Up to that point?
Yeah, almost. 40. 40 a week.
That yeah. 40?
Yeah, that's 40 times.
What's five times? That's 800. 80. I mean.
Four. Last time I checked, what's five times four? 20, right? Yeah. Yeah, so 40 a week in 5 weeks. That gets me to 200.
No, yeah, I was, I don't,
yeah, that's going to be tough. But here's,
it's doable. But,
if you do it just by sampling.
You'll also be divorced.
Well, no, but keep in mind, I'll probably knock it out of flights in California. Will knock that out in the travel. And regardless, I'll hit 2,000. If I don't hit 2,000 in California, which would be a stretch. I know that's a stretch. I'll hit it at the end of July in Traverse City, Michigan when I'm at my work trip.
You could start by, I mean, the weekends are, soccer's done for you guys yet, or?
No.
No, we got a couple weeks left, too.
We've got, if you go look at our family calendar upstairs, everything highlighted in blue is a Hayden. She has 2 days with nothing.
Ooh.
She's got 2 games tomorrow. She actually has 3 games tomorrow, and she's not going to be at softball because she has 2 soccer games. And then we have softball practice Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. She has soccer practice Thursday, she has sock keeper practice Friday, she has 2 games Saturday. I mean, she's Sunday, we have practice. She has, there's not a day where she doesn't have something going on. It's, that kid's busier than I ever was.
Stupid kids.
Yeah, they're dumb.
I was going to say you could hit a couple breweries and do some flights between now and then and knock that number down, but.
Well.
Like, I really want to go to that Crossroads. I just haven't been there yet.
I figure if I just stop at the beer sauce shop once a week and or hit a brewery.
Yeah.
Once or every other week. I mean, that puts a chunk in it.
Yeah, it does.
There's a ton of beer in here I've never had still. So
I have a lot of really shitty beer in my fridge that you probably have never had.
It's very ambitious is what I'm saying. Yeah. It's very ambitious. Yeah. And I don't know that it's going to happen. I think Missy's looking at, she's going to try to hit, I think she's close to, I don't remember what it was.
Where am I at?
She's got a good number that she's wanting to hit too, like 1,500 or 1,000, something like that.
I'm at 1,615 as of the last beer I just checked in, which is the Mother Lovers.
It's a good number.
1,807 without any of these.
There you go. Yeah. That's not bad.
See,
I'm not very far off from you guys.
Well, I'm
really
determined that he's an alcoholic.
Yeah. He's
I'm at 1798.
You're militant with your check-ins. I am
He doesn't buy repeat beers very much.
No.
I don't buy repeat beers, and I almost never check in a repeat beer unless it's been like months since I've had it.
Well, I check into repeat beers just for the simple fact that there is a handful of beers that if you go to Untappd's web, if you go to the website on a laptop or PC, and you can see how many times that who overall has the most check-ins.
Mm-hmm.
I have like 5 Schlafly, like 4 hands. I have like before they close, like their left hand.
Yeah,
Milk Stout. There's a ton of beers where I have the most check-ins in the country, it was a point of pride.
Well,
for
yeah,
me.
That's a different story.
Which is very Frank Gallagher-ish as a point of pride. I'm like,
you're right. Yeah. This. The first drink of this is entirely different than the rest of them.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad thing. It's just, it's weird.
Well, I tell you what, since you transitioned us to that, let's end the podcast talking about what we drink, and you guys can give a quick review of it. You're talking about a beer I totally bought because it looks like I'm on the can.
Yeah, Los Angeles Ale Works Red Beard India Pale Ale.
Yeah, and it's like a red IPA that
can
has...
Can I read it?
Yeah, sure.
It says double dry hopped with Barb Rogue and Alsatian hop as refined. I'm losing my sight. And heroic as a postseason walk off home run. Low bitterness with complex citrus and red berry aromas that lead to a clean and dry finish.
Yeah.
So it's not really a red IPA.
No, it's not at all. Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, solid. What's your review of it, both of you? Both of the two yous.
I just gave it a 2.75 on Untappd because I was talking and doing it at the same time. Yeah. If I'm being honest, it's a 2.25.
Okay.
It was like 3, 3.5.
Yeah, I think I gave it a 3. It's right there in the middle for me.
It doesn't punch me in the face like I like an IPA, too.
One of the beers that we drink tonight also was, we did tell you about the Evil Twin Blue Raspberry. I gave that a 2.75.
That's not bad.
For like I said, a sour, that's pretty high on my scale of a sour. What'd you give it?
I'd probably give it a 3.
Okay. Yeah, it's right there. Kind of same room.
It's a one and done. You can't do more than one of those.
I think I like the narrow gauge sour IPAs better than that.
Yeah. I haven't had those. Which one's that one?
Oh, God. They have a few of them.
I think Let's check it out. I think I like narrow gauges better in anything you wanted to put in.
Yeah.
I have a narrow gauge sour in my fridge that I bought around Thanksgiving. It's been in my fridge the whole time, and it's the 750 or whatever. Yeah. And I don't want to drink it by myself. Like, I want to drink it with
people. Bring it over to the podcast.
You're not really a big sours guy.
I'm a big narrow gauge fan, and also a big fan of drinking on the podcast.
Yeah, I know. I should do that. I also have
two out of three of those we nail.
Yeah. I also have a Boulevard from 2015 Imperial Stout.
I don't know
Stout.
That I want that. Well, an Imperial Stout probably aged well. That'd be fine. That'd be fine.
The last one I had was so harsh.
Well, then one of the other beers we drank tonight was Duckfoot's Mother Lover Dry Irish Stout. I literally got it because I like seeing what other people's take on a dry Irish. For those that are naive to craft beer or beer in general, a dry Irish Stout is a Guinness. Yeah. So this one, this says, craving that classic Irish ale when a beloved, expectant member of our Duckfoot team wanted nothing but that. Okay, first off, a classic Irish ale is not. It's a classic Irish stout.
Yeah.
It's way different. Mm-hmm. Said, we made sure to deliver, and the recipe has lived on ever since. Stealing hearts and awards, it's a 2017 San Diego International Beer Festival gold medal winner. It's got notes of chocolate and coffee with cream. These flavors will continue to linger in your mouth and be followed up with pronounced roasted malt flavors with just a touch of sweetness. I mean, it describes an Irish stout to a T. I think I gave this a 3 because it is right there in the middle of the road. It's a fine beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was good. I think I gave it a 2.75 again.
You also brought over a very, very solid beer that I've had a couple of times now from Pipeworks. Pipeworks continues to crush it with their beers.
Yeah.
Mini Unicorn. For those that don't know, their Unicorn Versus series is always pretty good. Unicorn versus Ninja.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all our Ninja versus like Unicorn.
Ninja versus Unicorn Wet, I think.
There's all kinds. Wet of, there's hops. Pirates versus Unicorn.
Cryo.
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of, Cryo.
So their Unicorn series is really good.
I literally bought it because the can is so ridiculous.
Yeah, the can looks like it's, as a kid, those sticker
Lisa
books.
Frank's sticker book.
Yeah, the sticker books, and that's what the can looks like. And I think I gave this a 3.5, 3.75 when I drank it. It's a great beer.
I think, you know, it is a great beer. It's very good. I think of all the Pipeworks stuff I've had, it's the most boring, and that's not necessarily an insult because it's a very solid middle of the road IPA.
It would be an all day drinker compared to some other stuff.
Yeah, compared to the other stuff where you're like, ooh, I need a break.
Yeah, because I think technically it's a session IPA.
Yeah, it is.
Which just makes sense because they don't do sessions.
Yeah. And it's very, it is very good, and the can is ridiculous. My daughter was like, ooh, what is that? I'm like, it's a beer. Yeah.
And then she's 6. Finally, one of the last beers, and the majority of these beers that you've tried that you've never seen before, too, came from that CBK app.
Yeah that's cool.
This is Paperback Brewing's A Milkshake Orange, which the can alone made me buy it because it's a Clockwork Orange parody.
Mm-hmm.
It is an orange milkshake IPA, 6.5 alcohol by volume. It's one pint. I don't think they say anything other than just have that really captivating logo. And just being a very good beer. I mean, you everything you need on it. It tastes like it's got it's orange. It's a milkshake, so it's got lactose in it. It's an IPA. It's got a lot of balanced flavors in there.
And it's very, very tasty.
I think I just gave it a 3.25, I think, is what
really?
I gave it.
Really? I was going to go all the way up to 3.75.
It's a good beer.
I was thinking 4.
Yeah, it's a good beer. Very good beer. Yeah. Very solid beer.
My biggest complaint with these and I really enjoy them, but I'm literally lactose intolerant. So, like, any more than one or even, like, even that full can, like, the drink that I had was enough. Otherwise, it's ruining my day.
Well, I'm sure that we've ruined everyone's day, and we've now talked about all the beers that we've drank. So that means this podcast, we've accomplished everything we mean to on these top podcasts. We've talked about pop culture. We've talked about our personal lives. We've ruined some days, and we've drank a lot of beer. So I don't think we have anything else except for the advice that Bender has to give you.
Hold on to your butts.
Now, Jay, give them the sweet sounds of your voice.
Bye.
And we're going to sign off.